You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Open the Gates of Hope. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Several years ago, the controversial title of a British book caught the roving eyes of Canadian shoppers. The simple title of this impressive book was composed of only three short words, Jesus the Evidence. Now, evidence is that word that is normally associated with courtrooms and truth and proof. And when many Canadians saw the headline of this new book, Jesus the Evidence, they obviously also felt that finally their long search to find the true God would be over, and their endless and nagging questions of who Jesus really is would be forever settled. However, anyone who had pinned their hopes on finding the final assurance of Jesus in this book was destined for disappointment. Instead of creating faith and conviction, this new book offered eager customers only confusion and doubt. Curious Canadian readers were given anxiety instead of security, and heresy instead of hope. Of course, those who publish these sensational books always like to claim that their new release offers all the latest in scholarly findings. But Maclean's, one of Canada's leading news journals, exposed all of this. They reported that Wilson, the author, offers a lively and readable reinterpretation of the Gospels, based not upon new research, but upon his own reading and his own interpretation. With all the pressure of publishers and with all the temptations of new titles designed to create wealth for the author instead of faith for the reader, it is then not surprising that a large segment of the public continues even today to feel very confused as to exactly who Jesus Christ really is. Modern manuscripts of money-loving authors are not the answer. Instead, intelligent information recorded in the Bible, based upon evidence offered by eyewitnesses in Jesus' day, these solid facts still represent the most dependable information upon which to build a solid foundation of faith. Consequently, when you are searching for the answer to the troubling question, who is Jesus Christ, there is no better place to turn than to the two crystal clear statements made by Christ's divinely appointed forerunner, John the Baptist. In the Bible, in the Gospel of John, we read that the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him. Behold, John announced, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen, John the Baptist said, and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now, of course, there are some sections in the Bible that are less clear than others. However, when John the Baptist made these statements, his meaning was crystal clear. Sometimes we are tempted to say, what a blessing it would be if only God would suddenly intervene in our world and curb all books and movies that fantasize about Christ. These dreamy and often blasphemous writings only cloud the minds of unsuspecting readers. Consequently, the best advice is to absolutely refuse to read any modern books about Jesus based upon fantasy or conjecture instead of fact. Rather, concentrate your search and your focus upon the facts of history, carefully recorded in the divinely inspired scriptures. Rest your faith in future not upon speculators of the 20th century. Instead, secure your eternal future upon the first-hand evidence of the earliest eyewitnesses of Jesus. And so, my friend, when you do this with great joy, you will, just as John the Baptist did, you will see Christ clearly. Now, however, you will share the clear vision of John the Baptist only when you understand the system of Old Testament sacrifices, just as John the Baptist obviously did. You see, when John the Baptist cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," he was tying, he was joining, he was bonding Christ's identity directly to that system of sacrifice that God had given his people in order for them to receive the assurance of his divine mercy and his gracious forgiveness. You see, when John the Baptist cried out loudly and clearly and publicly the true identity of Jesus Christ by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," at that very moment in history, John the Baptist was referring to something that all religious Jews of that day were very, very well aware of. The expression of a lamb which would take away sin surely sparked an immediate reference to the most important day of the entire Jewish year. This highest of all days was the Passover. And on that day, every Israelite who was physically able and who lived not more than 15 miles from Jerusalem was expected to appear in the holy city of Jerusalem and at the temple for this major festival. And in addition to all the locals for these special days, foreigners swarmed into Jerusalem from other nations near and far. Their arrival swelled the small city of Jerusalem with a normal population of about 25,000 into a mass of milling people totaling 250,000 or more. Excellent records of this incredible event are still available. And we know this from the time when Cestius requested the high priest to make a census in order to convince Nero of the importance of Jerusalem and the Jewish nation. The report of the high priest shows that the number of lambs slain for the Passover sacrifice was found to be 256,500. Now, if we compute this at 10 persons for every sacrificial lamb, conservatively, this would confirm a Passover population of a 250,000 or more. The historian Josephus puts Jerusalem's population during Passover at 2,700,200 people. And, of course, to us in 1996, these figures involving the Passover may be all very surprising and perhaps even a bit shocking. But for those Jews who attended the Passover feast in Jerusalem every year, the bloody sacrificial system was very well known. Consequently, when John the Baptist cried out that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the people who heard these words were well aware of what John the Baptist was saying. John the Baptist was talking about the sacrifices and all the blood. But John was also announcing even more. He was pointing to someone who would now replace. That's correct. Someone who would replace the entire elaborate previous sacrificial system. Jesus, you see, would be not only the sacrifice, but he would also be the one who would offer up the sacrifice. Jesus Christ would offer up his own body as the perfect sacrifice. Jesus said, "I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom." And so through his own blood shed on the cross of Calvary, this Jesus, this Lamb of God, would do in a real and concrete way that which all previous animal sacrifices could only symbolize. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, we read about the priests. You see, they went regularly into the temple of Jerusalem to offer sacrifices to God for the sins of the people. But now with the coming of Christ, this was all changed. Jesus replaced the entire sacrificial system completely and entirely. And so, for us today, Jesus has not only become the perfect sacrifice, he has also become the priest, that one who has offered up the perfect sacrifice of his own body and his own blood for our sin. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, we read, and I quote, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. Jesus entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Then the Bible continues to explain by saying, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And for this reason, he, Jesus, the Bible says, is the mediator of a new covenant. This conscience-cleansing power of Christ is also that one great blessing of God that is now so desperately needed in this year of 1996. Financial concerns can burden us. Health problems can certainly plague us. Work demands can make us very weary, and time constraints can make our lives cramped and confused. But there is no greater burden, no wretched condition, and no state of mind that is more miserable and more unlivable than a life laden with guilt and tortured by our unforgiven conscience. Like a ball and a chain, these memories of regret and flashbacks of failure can disable even the most healthy body and stymie even the most open-hearted personality. And maybe, of course, this is also something that applies to your life today. Harsh words spoken to parents years ago and anger-filled expressions of, I told you so, and you'll never amount to anything, prematurely expressed to wayward children, all of these uncontrolled outbursts, like red stains on a pure white cloth, seem impossible to purge and to permanently remove. However, when you by faith see Christ clearly, then there will surely be in your heart a new hope. Come now, the prophet Isaiah said, for even though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. In his own body, Jesus Christ is offered unto God the Father the one and forever perfect sacrifice of his own innocent blood. And now this same Jesus holds out no other condition as he invites you to cleanse your conscience except simple faith in his saving power. Jesus said, he who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Oh, what a joy it is to read the Bible and to learn that Jesus lovingly and deliberately took away the first system of legalistic and laborious sacrifice in order to establish a second and a more perfect sacrifice. By this will, the Bible says, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. No, my friend, you cannot change your relatives, you know that, and you cannot reinvent regretted relationships that you have had with friends or family members in the past. But there is one thing that you can do. You can receive by faith the blessings of your Savior that will heal all these past hurts. Through the sin-cleansing blood of Christ, these accusing memories of the past are removed as far as the east is from the west. Because of the merits of Jesus earned for us on the bloody altar of the cross, our mercy-filled God forgives our sins, and with his assurance of forgiveness, Jesus is now saying to you, go, go and sin no more. And then with this positive approach to life, God not only cuts you free from all your past, but he then also uses these memories in a positive way as a reminder to you of his blessed healing, and also as a way to help you avoid on the highway of life all future potholes and dead ends and disappointments. And so then the next time you see a provocative picture of Jesus on the dust cover of a newly published book, or the next time your eyes are drawn to a bold magazine headline announcing Jesus as some type of wonder person or sensation of history, then don't be misled. Jesus was indeed a doer of great miracles. Jesus was certainly the most profound teacher that has ever lived. And yes, indeed, Jesus sincerely and without reservation committed himself to easing the social ills of his time. But the greatest task of Jesus was to permanently and to forever replace any and all imperfect animal sacrifices. The Bible says clearly, how much more, yes, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience? Oh, indeed, this is the day that the Lord has made for you. My friend, this is the hour that God wants you to refocus your eyes of faith. Behold, yes, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Christ, who is the forgiving Christ. Let all other thoughts of Jesus that you now have be secondary, and let your ears hear clearly the echo of John the Baptist as he cried out distinctly, and as he spoke clearly the God-given identification of Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And behold the Lamb of God who through his death of the cross has also taken away, my friend, your sins. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. Oh, my dear friend, your sins and all your past failures have been washed clean by the blood of Christ. And so begin this hour. Look forward to the future and not back to the past. Look up. Look up to see God's forgiveness and not down to your regrets. Look up. Look up and live. Look up and behold Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who has taken away completely all of your sins by his grace. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.